Hey guys, it's Jason. For everyone that hasn't been following along, back on episode number 66 of our show, we had a very special guest, Ryan Gutierrez, also known as Gutex. He's host of the Street Fighter podcast, and he's also a top-ranked Street Fighter 4 player. Well, we're just a bunch of scrubs, so Ryan came on to give us the lowdown on what he thinks of the game, and also offer up some insight to the tons of email responses we got. So many were these responses that we had to break up the interview into two parts. This is that second part. We're going to cover a little bit more about Ryan himself, the Street Fighter scene as a whole, tournaments, and Ryan might just have a very special announcement as well. We shall see. After that, we've got questions that you, the listeners, wanted to ask directly to him. Now, if you have not heard the first part of the interview, well, you're not an Indus Uber fan. Go check it out. InteractiveDistractions.com, episode number 66, or you can find us at VGEvo.com. So I'm pretty much sure that you want me to shut the fuck up right now, so let's just hop into the show. Interactive Distractions proudly presents Gutex Part 2. Ha, just messing.
Hello and welcome to Interactive Distractions.
Yo.
This is our special Street Fighter episode, our continuation from episode 66, since we...
Epic!
We had too many people write in for the feature, so...
Jesus Christ.
I am here with... my name is Chris Farigio, by the way. I am here with Jason
Aestreicher. Hey, guys.
Jeff Chorney.
Word up.
And Gutex has joined us again. Ryan, how you doing?
Doing great, man. Doing great. Thank you for having me back.
Absolutely. I'm glad you came back. We were hoping that we'd be able to cover all of the stuff that we got from our listeners. So it's great that you came back, because we have some more stuff to cover, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So.
Yeah, awfully cool of you to offer to help out.
Oh, yeah. No problem. I love it. I love doing this stuff.
You just like to talk about Street Fighter, don't you?
I love it. I don't know if you can tell. But
this has nothing to do with us. You don't give a shit about us. You just want to talk about Street Fighter. That's what it is. Well, let's just. How's everybody doing? Jason, what's up? How are you, man?
Man, I'm fucking pumped. I love talking about this shit too. I could talk about it all day long. So yeah, I've been playing nothing but Street Fighter, gearing up for a tournament in a couple weeks here called Final Round here in Atlanta. So
yes, as am I.
We might have to. Do some.
Awesome. I can't believe it. I was joking when we talked a little bit offline, and I'm like, well, Ryan had something. He said something. He's like, yeah, I got some big news, and I'm like, what? You're coming to Final Round? He's like. Oh, yeah, I'm doing that, too. And I'm like, what?
Really?
I aim to please.
We're going to have to get some video of that when you're playing.
Fully planning on it.
Awesome. Oh, yeah. Awesome. Yeah, maybe we can do like a little, I don't know, special segment or something while we're over there.
Kick ass. Yeah, absolutely. We're all about that stuff, man.
Yeah, I'll be there with the HD camera and shit, and I'll push the microphones in people's faces.
Very cool, very cool. Jeff, how are you, man?
Doing all right. Played a lot of Street Fighter since last time and now. And I'm happy to say, I can't remember if I said on the air before that I was pissed off that my battle points went down from like 1,500 to like 830 in like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
I managed to get them back up above 1,000, and now I don't want to touch ranking for a while.
I'm afraid now.
Exactly. I'm all proud now, even though it's not even that high. I'm just like, yep, I got it back up there, and now it's on to player matches.
Nice. Cool. Well, Ryan, how are you, man?
I'm doing fantastic, man. I mean, everything is just falling into place.
Oh, we got to ask. How was the movie?
Yes. How was the movie?
The Street Fighter movie was a great time. I had an awesome time, you know, watching it with me and about 40 or 50 other dudes from the SoCal Street Fighter community.
Nice.
Because we were lucky enough to get to go to a private screening at the Fox Studios lot over in West LA. Because Sanchez, who got second place at the GameStop tournament at CityWalk, which was the week that the game came out, he got second place, which was a screening for him plus 50 of his closest friends, aka us.
Nice.
to watch the Street Fighter Legend of Chun-Li movie the day before it came out.
Who got first, by the way?
I got first.
Oh, you did. Oh, nice. And what did you get for first? If second place was 50 people seeing the movie, what was first place?
You got a headband, didn't you?
Well, I got a trip to San Francisco to the GameStop tournament finals.
Ooh.
Which is going to be held April 17th, I think. the weekend of the 17th. I don't know if the 17th is a Friday or Saturday, but it's that weekend. It's in San Francisco. And, yeah, but only as a spectator, not actually as a player. Because earlier, well, yesterday over the weekend, or Saturday over the weekend, I played in the round two of the National GameStop tournament. Mm-hmm. And I lost.
Whoa. So, was it the D-pad that was messing you up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you run a big national tournament, for Street Fighter where you have the third round prize, as a joystick, and you have, you know, the grand prize, you know, Street Fighter 4 arcade machine with the joystick, and you make everybody play on controllers. So there were some inconsistencies with, you know, the setups of the tournaments and inconsistencies with the controllers. To me, it was a big mess.
They made you use controllers. They didn't give you sticks.
No. Why would they? And they wouldn't even let us. They wouldn't let us play on our own sticks because that would be. I don't even know why they don't want to do that.
Total cheats.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like it's a really great prize. I mean, it was a really good thought. You know, like a National Street Fighter 4 tournament mm-hmm. put on by GameStop. I mean, it sounded really good on paper.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I don't really think that they took a lot of the suggestions that the community had.
Yeah.
They didn't take any of that into account. And so, I got a free trip to San Francisco, and that's cool. Mm-hmm. So I'll get to be there to watch, as much fun as that will be. I mean, you know, like, I mean, I don't know if I sound like a dick for not, you know, for not being like super excited about it, but it's like, I get to go to the finals, but I don't actually get to play, even though, I mean, to be honest, like, I know for a fact that I would be able to beat like most of the people that are going to be able to qualify because the way that they had it set up was you could win your round one store, round two, but you had to go to the store that they assigned you to. What we have is, you know, you could say a large amount of the SoCal Street Fighter 4 community being, you know, way better than almost everybody else in the country. Mm-hmm. And all of us are going to be fighting. Well, not me, but everybody else is going to be fighting for, one spot in San Jose. So there's not even a qualifier here in SoCal. Everybody here that qualified in round two has to go to San Jose on their own dime and try to qualify for round three. And yeah, I mean, it does suck, but it would be better if they would just let us play at whatever round three store we wanted to, because, coincidentally, there's a round three store in Georgia, three miles away from final round.
And that would be going on at the time that you're here, right?
Right, exactly. Because not only did they make it so that we had to play at whatever store they wanted us to play at, but they also made the round three tournament the same day as the Street Fighter 4 tournament at final round.
Oh, shitty.
So, I mean, obviously that only affects like a tiny amount of the players and, you know, what do they care? You know, they don't care about us, you know?
Of course not. Yeah, you're right though. This is kind of a step because a lot of the winners are going to be ushered into Evo as well,
right?
Which we've talked a little bit about. So it's kind of bringing awareness, I guess. But
yeah, I mean that's great, except for the fact that, you know, like, I mean, not to be a dick, but, you know, no offense, a lot of players that are coming from places that don't have a Street Fighter 4 machine aren't mm-hmm. going to get. They're gonna get totally owned.
Oh, yeah.
When they come, I mean, when it comes down to the finals in April in San Francisco.
Yeah,
there's just no possible way that somebody who's been playing for like what, a month and a half could mm-hmm. possibly beat somebody who's been playing, you know, for 6 months longer. That's been playing every day.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because the level of competition in these states is just nowhere near as high as it is here in SoCal. But of course, you know, GameStop doesn't really care about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
They get to put their name out there as an advertising.
Yeah, no, I mean, of course, like, I totally understand the business end of that stuff. Yeah. But I mean, you know, had they taken as a player, you know, especially a player with a voice and an audience,
mm-hmm.
You know,
and that's really like emotionally invested in the community, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, this could have been so much better. I mean, it's good. You know, hopefully this is just the first national tournament. Hopefully this is just the first one of many, but, you know, that's part of why I'm, I don't know. I'm kind of glad that I got pieced out so I can just go and worry about final round and worry about working on my own stuff because,
that's cool.
I'm 100% confident that my own stuff that I'm working on is going to be way better than any of the stuff that any of these outsiders can come in and do.
That's a good attitude, I think. So.
And what is the stuff you're working on, if you don't mind us asking?
Well, specifically, I'm working on an event called Street Fighter Bar Fights, and it's going to be held April 5th in Pasadena, California, at Jake's Billiards, which is, I mean, obviously, you know, we're getting, you know, California specific, but in Pasadena, it's in Old Town Pasadena, which is the main drag over there. And so what it is a series of exhibition matches. It's not a tournament. All we have are big name players playing big matches against each other. So there's not going to be like pros pounding on scrubs or scrubs playing with scrubs. It's not a tournament. It's just these matches. So it's, you can think of it like a boxing or a UFC or a wrestling lineup.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So I mean, who's slated? Who you got on the card?
So the lineup, it's going to be Ed Ma, who you may know from Street Fighter 4 Secrets Volume 1.
Everybody buy combo. That on iTunes or Amazon.com.
Yes, please buy that on iTunes or Amazon.com.
It's good. I actually downloaded it. It actually taught me some things I've already put into effect and have been working. So
yeah,
nice. I'm glad it's working good. Out.
Yeah, Jeff was asking me about Kara throws today. He's like, "What the fuck are these things?"
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Oh, that's good. You know, that's what we're trying to do. You know, so I mean, we got Ed Ma, who's I think he's the best player in California, versus Combo Fiend, who was also flown out with myself to Sensation Fight Club, which was held last month in Virginia.
That dude is funny as shit. I love him.
Yeah.
Need him on the show more.
Combo Fiend is the best. He's really funny, really entertaining, and he's a really great player. And he actually, at Sensation Fight Club, he was in an exhibition match with Justin Wong. So he beat, it was a first to seven wins. So he beat Justin Wong, who, I mean, is a legend.
Yeah.
I mean, Justin Wong is absolutely amazing. And Combo Fiend beat him 7-5 in his exhibition match.
So in his hometown. Well, I mean, Justin's East Coast. He's New York, right?
Yeah,
he's coming to final round, by the way.
Justin is also coming to final round.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway.
Yeah, it's those two. They're like the main event. And then we have So Much Damage, who's a Sagat player that's down from here in SoCal. That's
the name's
kind of making a lot of... Yeah, he's kind of making a lot of waves because he's beaten a lot of the really top guys in really clutch situations. And he didn't come from Third Strike or from Marvel or CVS. He's like strictly Street Fighter 4.
Wow.
Yeah, so he's been like kind of like a I guess an anomaly, you could say.
Okay.
Because he kind of came out of nowhere. So he's playing Mike Ross, and that's actually Mike Ross, who you may know from the first episode of the Dogface show. And I mean, I've had him on my podcast before, and he's definitely one of the best players down here. And this is actually kind of a rematch for those guys because they were recently playing in the finals together at this tournament that was held at Video 94. I think it was back in January. It was not too long ago. So this is kind of like a rematch. And then we have myself versus Kai, who uses El Fuerte, who's...
Sweet. Nice.
I haven't seen anybody in America play Fuerte like Kai. I mean, Kai is really one of the best, not just in SoCal, but I mean, I think he's the best Fuerte in America.
He looks like it.
Yeah. So me and him are playing, and then we have Ken I and Bobino playing a Rufus mirror match. Ken I is like a legend in all kinds of fighting games, including Third Strike. He's absolutely amazing in Third Strike and Street Fighter 4. Mm-hmm. And Bobino just was the winner of California Regionals,
cool.
Which was held back in January at Dungeon Arcade. And then we have Sanchez versus Bebop, who, you know, these guys, Sanchez got second place at the GameStop tournament that I won. And Bebop plays Vega. And these guys, you know, they're going to put on a really good show. Yeah. And then we also have a 2-on-2 team match. It's going to be, well, I haven't talked to these guys yet, but I'm pretty positive that it's going to be Day and Busta, who play at Dungeon Arcade.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be those two versus Kino, and who's one of the best Balrog players here in SoCal. He actually beat me yesterday to win first place at the tournament that we had yesterday at Arcade Infinity.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. So Kino's really good. So it's going to be Kino and a teammate of his choosing versus Day and Busta from Dungeon. And the kicker is, before the event starts for like an hour, hour and a half, I mean, we're still working on the times, but before the event start, we're going to have a contest. Beat a pro, 2 out of 3 games, win $500.
I'm there.
So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. So, you know, we're going to have that set up before the matches start. So anybody who can come up and beat one of us pros, I mean, obviously, you know, it's going to be, I'm not quite sure who the pros are going to be yet, but I mean, it's probably going to be like some pretty big names. So, Ryan, and it's a free event. It's a free event.
This is fucking huge for real.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because, you know, you go to tournaments and shit and you'll maybe have, you know, one or two of these types of things, you know, kind of headliners as
if you're lucky.
Exhibition. Yeah, if you're lucky. And you're having a shit ton of them. And this is a huge card. Some of the most well-known players out there right now.
Exactly.
You're
putting
the show on for free. Fuck it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
is it
going to
be on pay-per-view?
You would think.
Well, the plan is to record the matches and release DVDs with player commentary. That's the plan.
Nice.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really awesome.
So, I mean, and it's going to be hosted by Dogface, who you know from his new show called The Dogface Show.
He's a funny guy.
Yeah, Dogface is the best. He's so funny. Very charming, and it's gonna be a lot of fun.
Very charismatic.
Exactly. Vic he's the perfect one to MC this event, and I'm really glad that I talked him into it because it was his birthday, and he was like, "Oh, I don't know, it's my birthday." Oh. And he's like, "Girl, we're gonna go to Arizona." I'm like, "Dude, Arizona, come on."
Arizona will always be there.
Yeah, Arizona will be there, man. This is Street Fighter bar fights.
Yeah. Desert's not.
It's way too hot in Arizona that time of year. You don't want to go then.
Wait, yeah. All right. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to talk about more tournaments and stuff. I mean, because this is, you know, I mean, this is a great way to showcase some of the players, you know, in the community. Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, that's exactly what I'm trying to address with this event because, you know, last year, you know, we just finished up the first ranking battle season over here at Arcade Infinity. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, you know, a lot of the big name players such as Edma, Kenai, and Combo Fiend, they can't always come out to these little $5 tournaments, because, you know, they have work and, you know, school responsibilities, lives and everything. You know, you can't always make it out for a little $5 tournament. And so, you know, they get hurt on points, so they don't get they don't get as many points as everybody else, but that doesn't mean that any of these guys are like better than them. It just means that they couldn't come out to the tournaments all the time. So to me, like, this model works because now they only have to get one day off a week, one day off, you know, every time that there's one of these big events.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I could see that being really tough. Yeah. We have trouble just doing a weekly show. So we all have shit. So, and yeah, these guys have to play all the fucking time. So,
right. Yeah. So, I mean, now, you know, this kind of opens up the tournaments to players who are still trying to come up because now all of the top, they don't have to worry about coming in and just getting owned by all these pros because now all the pros pretty much only have to play.
Or worrying about the exhibition shit. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. Cool.
Exactly. And so the tournaments are going to be used as a funnel for picking the matches that are going to be held at the next event.
I dig that. Yeah. Very good idea.
Thanks.
Yeah, this is going to be huge. So, I mean, because I think what you really want to do is, you know, just increase the scene. And, you know, by spotlighting these characters, I mean, you're just increasing the hype surrounding everything, you know?
Exactly. And the time is right for Street Fighter 4. I mean, you know, 2 million units shipped. I mean, that's massive. And, I mean, mm-hmm. I'm really trying to pull in the casual players who are playing at home with their buddies, maybe like you guys, mm-hmm. And they have an interest in Street Fighter, but they think that they're maybe a little intimidated by going to a tournament and playing, you know, because like if you're just starting and, you know, you got all these other guys who've been playing for years, and I mean, that can be kind of intimidating. I understand that, but that doesn't mean that they shouldn't be able to come out and enjoy some drinks and food and watch some amazing Street Fighter.
No doubt. Well, cool. So if somebody does want to, you know, become competitive, say they get bit by the bug and they want to start playing. All right. So, I mean, yeah, these people are intimidating, but they got to train somewhere, right? I mean,
yes, they do.
Where do you think is a good place for them to go? Do you think they should just stick to their home consoles, invite their friends over, or try and find something a little
absolutely
local?
Not. Well, I guess assuming that you were already competent and that, you know, you could do all your moves, and you had good execution, and, you know, you're beating people on a regular basis.
Yeah.
You know, of course, you start with your local gatherings.
Why do you find stuff like that?
Well, the best place to look would be the Shoryuken forums, which you can find. Yeah, which you can find on Shoryuken.com, Shoryuken.com, and that's Shoryuken is basically the center or the hub of all Street Fighter activity online.
That's where all the cool kids hang out.
Yeah, yeah, and on SRK in the tournaments, there's the tournaments and events section where you can find events. You know, that are around your area. And then there's also the matchmaking sub forums, which are divided up by region. So you have like Pacific South. So that covers like, you know, Southern California and I don't know, maybe Arizona. You have like, you know, Northwest, Northeast, Southwest. I mean, that's the best place to go. But really, you know, if you're really passionate about it, man, and you're really trying to take it to the next level, then, you know, you got to take it upon yourself and you got to get a bunch of your buddies together and then you got to make it grow and grow. First, it's like 5 people, then next time it's 10, 20, and then, you know, you got yourself a real tournament.
Yeah, no doubt. So I think our area, you know, is just kind of coming into its own finally. We've only had a couple, like, we don't have any arcades that have Street Fighter 4, you know, and that's right. Why we're really hurting, but we've got a couple dedicated centers. Waba Game is an up and comer. And they've been putting on, you can actually go in there and go into their tournament training center, like Monday through Thursday, and they'll just let you play all the consoles for free, you know?
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's like a LAN center or what
yeah,
kind of place
it's a,
is it?
Yeah, it's a LAN center. And then they've got, you know, their pimp rooms, you know, the VIP stuff where you can actually pay to, you know, use the couches and the big screen TVs and shit. The guy that runs Waba is like, you know, he really wants the scene to grow. And shit too.
Man, that's cool. That sounds like the perfect place for this.
Yeah, he's opened up his store and he calls it, yeah, Tournament Center, Training Center, or whatever it's called. So he really wants people to really get into it as well. So try and find what shit kind like of, that.
Yeah, I mean for everybody listening, I mean, what kind of, like, how many people normally show up or how many people are there throughout the day?
It's still growing. What's really cool though is that it's open pretty much all day long. Like, he'll kind of start in the afternoon and whatever, but, you know, he won't close any sooner than midnight. You know, sometimes it's like 2-3 a.m. But yeah, they can get some pretty good groups. You know, 20-30 people showing up for tournaments. I think he just had his first tournament a couple days ago. I don't know how it went yet. I was out of town, but yeah.
Nice. Well, you got to hit up the next one, man.
I know. I really want to. So, but yeah, definitely check out SRK for your local gatherings. Let's see what else. Sometimes they have things called Ranbats, and this is something that is kind of new to me. Can you explain Ranbats to me? Because I'll see them listed, you know, in that forum where it's like, you know, local Ranbat or weekly Ranbat or something like that. What is it?
Yeah. Okay. So the Ranbat is short for ranking battle. And that's just a fancy name that we stole from the Japanese. And as far as I know, it wasn't really done before Third Strike because when Third Strike was in its heyday, we would always have videos released from their weekly Ranbats, and so we also adopted the same model for Third Strike, and this was, I don't know, like 2005, 2006, I don't know, it was a while ago that we started doing it, and so that carried over from Third Strike to Street Fighter 4, and so the way it works is that each season, so it's a tournament season, each season is 6 tournaments. I don't know why it's 6. You know, you can do it. Kind of just depends on your community. Like, for example, last season we did the ranking battle every 3 weeks. So first it was Arcade Infinity, and then the following week it was Dungeon Arcade, and then it was Family Fun. But our ranking battles at AI were not connected with Family Fun or Dungeon because they weren't keeping track of points and they weren't actually doing a ranking battle season. So it was just AI. So we did it every 3 weeks because that was pretty much the demand and that was what fit into the schedule of the other arcades because, I mean, we don't want to step on any other arcade's toes with our events. Let's see. So there's 6 tournaments and then the winners of the tournaments get points. So traditionally in Third Strike, you would get 10 points for first place, 7 points for second, 5 for third, and 3 points for fourth. For Street Fighter 4, with this first season, it was a little bit different. You got 10 for first all the way down to 1 point for tying for seventh. So we did it a little bit differently this year. And ideally, what you would have is a prize at the end for the player who, at the end of the season, at the end of the 6 tournaments, has the most points.
Gotcha.
So in previous years, like at Family Fun, I mean, that's been like a cash prize or an Xbox. But I mean, for me, like this season, I mean, I ended up winning the first season, the first ranking battle season at AI, but there was no, there was no prize.
Right.
But you know, winning that's is fine. The winning is the prize.
Yeah,
bragging think, rights. There you go.
I think a real important thing is that, you know, it does a good job of creating like consistent competition. You know, keeping people competitive.
Yeah, know? Because I mean, you know, like you have, you really want to have everybody show up to all the tournaments, and so I mean, if you got a couple of points and you know that the next guy up is only, you know, 3 or 4 points away, I mean, hey, that's reason to show up.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, you know, we, I mean, I think I was the only person, I was the only guy with points in all the round bats. So that was,
you're part fucking of hardcore why, though, you know, shit.
I am hardcore. I do make, I make it a priority.
All right. So aside from local stuff, you know, what are some of the big shows out there? You know, cause there's gotta be, you know, the Super Bowl of Street Fighter. Well, that's pretty much Evo, right?
The Super Bowl of Street Fighter. I mean, you have Evo, the Evolution Tournament Series, which is held every summer. Past 3 or 4 years, it's been in Vegas, and this year it's also going to be in Vegas at the Rio. I think it's July 17th through 19th.
That sounds right.
Yeah, and so I mean, that's pretty much like the American Super Bowl or World Series of Street Fighter. Yeah. It doesn't get any bigger than Evo. This year, I don't know what the sponsor situation is looking like, but in past years, they've had a Toyota sponsor.
Yeah.
And so that led to thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, in prize money. So, I mean, this year with Street Fighter 4 being so huge, I mean, I think it's very possible that we could get 500 people signed up for Street Fighter 4. I mean, I think before the most we ever had was 300 for Third Strike, I think. But I can really see this year being a lot bigger with Street Fighter 4, if not, you know, even more. I mean, I don't know when they're going to start doing signups, so we'll know when it gets a little bit closer to the event.
Yeah, true.
But yeah, so, I mean, that's Evo in Vegas. And I mean, just because what a lot of people, man, you know, it really kind of breaks my heart because Evo is pretty much marketed as a tournament. Mm-hmm. A lot of players feel intimidated about going to a tournament like that.
Yeah. But oh, definitely.
But what you really have to understand, and most people don't really realize until they're actually there or in the community, is that, you know, even though it's a tournament, man, it's really more like a Street Fighter convention. It really is, no matter what anybody says. Even though the tournament is the focus of it, I mean, you have, you know, 1,000, 1,500 people all there because they love Street Fighter. Right. I mean, if that, and you're in Vegas. So, I mean, if that doesn't sound like a good time to you... You know,
there's
you
no must not hope.
Like. Yeah, exactly. You must not
got
like
people
Street
betting
Fighter
and everything. That's awesome.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I mean, in previous years, I mean, there have been money matches.
Yeah,
in
that's Marvel another thing I wanted to talk about too. Yeah, money matches.
Yeah, I mean, there's been money matches in Marvel vs. Capcom 2. I think there was like 10 grand on the line. I mean, you know, that's I mean, for me, that's a nice huge. Chunk of change. You know.
To bet on like a first to seven in like, you know, MVC2. Yeah. That's
yeah.
nuts.
I mean, it's really exciting. You know, they put it up on the big screen. I mean, Evo is always held in a big ballroom with like three really large projector screens. I mean, it's all set. I mean, for the finals, you know, they got chairs set up for the big exhibition matches. Everybody mm-hmm. watches. I mean, it's just a great, I mean, it's a great event. Great event. So, I mean, that's like the American Super Bowl or World Series. And then you have SBO, Super mm-hmm. Battle Opera, which is the big tournament in Japan. And I mean, you know, Evo's great, you know, but SBO, the production value of SBO is absolutely amazing. I mean,
really?
You go, yeah, oh yeah. I mean, okay. Because I went this past summer for Third Strike, and it was the very first time that I not just went to Japan, but it was the very first time that I qualified, for SBO, and that was absolutely incredible. I mean, you got like intro music. It's up on the stage,
oh,
and you
nice.
Have these big screens.
Awesome.
You have these big screens everywhere. I mean, it was held in like a, I don't know if you would call it a theater or like a little arena. It was maybe about the size, like a little bit smaller than the size of a college basketball arena.
Okay.
I mean, so I mean, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a big deal over there.
Yeah, it's obviously a spectator sport, you know.
Oh yeah,
some aspects.
For Absolutely. In Japan, Street Fighter is a spectator sport, and I mean, that's what I'm trying to bring here.
Exactly. Yeah, I would love to see that. And just to bring it to like a pro level too, you know, if they could be like, you know, pro sponsors, you know, making teams and shit, and
just really
bringing it out there.
That
I want to see
fantastic.
It
fantastic.
I want to see it on Sports or ESPN or some shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's, to me, it's more of a sport than a spelling bee is.
You think? Yeah.
You know,
it'd be on the Ocho.
It's probably more of a sport than poker is. So
yeah,
and just as competitive in some aspects, because you know, that's actually a good example, because you know all these poker players, you know, get all these great character profiles and become legends in their own sport, you know, as it were. And you know, I think there's just as interesting people in the Street Fighter community. You know, totally.
Absolutely,
and people
absolutely.
That are just as, if not more, dedicated to their game.
Yeah,
than anybody
I think
else.
So too, man. I mean, everybody. Everybody that's really good in Street Fighter 4, as well as Third Strike, I mean, everybody's a character.
Yeah.
Everybody's either got some weird thing, or, you know, they're either wacky or they're, I don't know, it's hard to explain if you've never, like, really been around it, but I mean, all of the top players have very distinct personalities, and I mean, I think it can make for a really interesting, you know, spectator sport type. Mm-hmm. Stuff.
Oh, absolutely. We talked a little offline, and you've mentioned this on your show. Mike Ross was talking about putting together some character pieces.
Yes.
And
yes, he is.
I hope he does that. He better go through with that. I'm really looking forward to it.
He's trying to put together a series of player profiles, kind of like documentary style, but YouTube sized, that would kind of show the top Street Fighter 4 players here in SoCal, and show them outside of the game. Because, you know, like, if you watch a lot of the matches on YouTube, you know, you see a lot of names. You see, you see Gutex, Combo Fiend, Ed Ma, Justin Wong. You know, you see all these guys, but you never see them. You have no idea what they're like as people. So I think that's what Mike Ross is trying to do with his documentary series, his player profile series.
I think it's absolutely necessary to make this thing grow. So
I think so. You know what? We're dying for it, you know, and hopefully, you know, some of them can be done. You know, maybe to coincide with Street Fighter bar fights, because that would be very helpful.
God, that is the best idea. I can't wait to see that. Very cool. All right, well, let's move on. We kind of covered tournaments and stuff. Let's say you want to go to a tournament. You know, I mean, you're obviously going to go to Evo or something like that. What do you do to help practice, I guess? Give some tips to some of us that are... I mean, do you do like the two eggs in the glass and drink that shit? Go all Rocky and, you know, eat your vitamins like Hogan or what?
I mean, honestly, you know, I don't know how it sounds like to people that don't play in tournaments or even the people who do play in tournaments, but they're not placing like really high. But I mean, I really think of it as like a sport. And I don't know if that sounds silly or stupid or whatever, but I mean, there's competition involved, you know, there's money involved, there's, you know, pride and bragging rights. I mean, there's a lot of factors involved. So, I mean, I try to take it, you know, relatively seriously. So, I mean, if before a big tournament, you know, I'll try to, like, if I can wake up early enough, or if the tournament's in the evening, you know, hopefully I can go for a run and, you know, get a little run in, before. And I try not to eat anything heavy before the tournament. You know, I'll eat like yesterday I took an apple and a banana to the tournament, because, and then when I got there, you know, a couple of guys were going to go to In-N-Out, which is famous California burger place. And I mean, I love me some In-N-Out, but I had to say no. You know, because to me, like, all of that meat and cheese and really tasty goodness sitting around in my stomach, I mean that's energy that could have been used on, you know, playing. So I mean, you know, like, for example, when you go to Evo, a lot of people, it's really easy to get distracted in when you go to Evo, because you're in Vegas, you know, you can stay up all night playing poker, you can go clubbing all night, you can get super drunk and have a great time in Vegas, and that's great, man. But you know, if you're really trying to do well, then you kind of have to get a good night's sleep and not to get too crazy the night before, you know.
Yeah, so you are hardcore then.
I kind of am hardcore. Yeah.
you mentioned intro music before, so you get to pick your intro music for a tournament. What song do you pick?
Oh man, I don't know what song I would pick, but it would definitely be like
Eye of the Tiger.
Nah, see, like, that's. That's a little too cliche for me. Yeah. Because I'm kind of a music snob. So anytime I do like a video or something, I always try to include some of that I've been listening to that I like. Mm-hmm. That I think, oh, like maybe these other guys might like.
Cool.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, you know, speaking of, you know, being hardcore and like, you know, when you do projects like your show, let's talk about your show a little bit. So you're host of the Street Fighter podcast, and I mentioned it before. Yes. You know, you've interviewed a shit ton of legendary players. I mean, how did you come up with this concept?
Well, I mean,
and what do you do with it? Why do you do it?
Ah, man. I mean, I came up with it over the summer, this past summer, after I flew to Chicago to Midwest Championships, which had the SBO qualifier. So I flew out there and I teamed up with KO Fiend and Justin Wong from New York, and you know, we managed to qualify, so you know, we won, and then we were going to Japan. Unfortunately, this year, due to, you know, the recession or whatever, this year the tickets were not covered by the hosting arcade. In previous years, the tickets were always covered by whichever arcade held the qualifiers, but this year they couldn't do it. So there were two qualifiers, one in at Family Fun Arcade here in SoCal, and then one at Midwest Championships. The owner of Family, Ralph, he offered to pay for cover half of the cost of the plane tickets for the West Coast team. Yeah, so that was good. But for us in Chicago, the other qualifier, I mean, we got like $100 each.
That's not gonna get you to Japan. All right.
That's like an $1,100 deficit, you know. So what I was doing on the way home, because I mean I had a lot of downtime on the plane and stuff, is I was trying to brainstorm ways that we could try to, you know, raise money through Street Fighter for Street Fighter. Yeah. And so I kicked around a bunch of ideas, and you know, a lot of them maybe are gonna be coming to fruition now that I'm in a better spot. But back then, doing a podcast seemed like a really good way to try and get some donations, because, you know, like a lot of people in the community think that everybody's like broke and poor and cheap. But what we actually found out was that when you really give when you really give the Street Fighter community something to care about, like everybody comes through. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, what I did was I interviewed Pyro Lee, who was, at the time, the best Third Strike player in the country, hands down. I mean, this guy qualified to go to SBO like every single year since they started having it.
Wow.
So he was the best. And so I had him on the show first. And so that was how it started. And we basically said, hey, you know, we're asking for donations, and we're putting out all this information, all this high level Third Strike, player secrets, basically. Uh-huh. We're putting all this out for free. And in return, we're asking for donations to help get us to Japan.
That's a fair deal.
Yeah. So, I mean, it worked out pretty well. We had John Choi, who's also another Street Fighter legend, and he was nice enough to call on the community and ask for donations, and he gave those to us. But I also wanted to try to give back in my own way and put out the podcast and ask for donations. So that's how it started. And then, you know, so, I mean, I interviewed all of the players who had a shot at going to SBO. And then after we went and came back, I mean, I just kind of kept doing the show, and it's kind of grown and changed, and it's kind of evolved a little bit. You know, I mean, now I do like slightly different things other than just talking strictly about, you know, strategy. But I mean, you know, to me, it's kind of, Street Fighter as a whole has grown a lot in the past 6 months since we've got back from Japan. I mean, because I guess now I've been doing it for like 6 or 7 months now altogether with the podcast.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, another thing that you do actually with the show, you've got a special segment called From Scrubs to the Winners Clubs.
Yes.
Which I absolutely love, because you kind of took some up-and-comers in the, you know, the SoCal scene, and, you know, that maybe weren't doing the best tournaments or whatever, but you felt they had potential.
Yes, I did.
Felt they had the drive. You took them under your wing.
Yeah. I mean, there were, you know, it started, I mean, there's two of them. There's John Rogg, who plays Balrog, and there's MYK, who plays Sagat now. And, John Rogg was a casual Street Fighter player, been playing for a long time, but never played in tournaments. And, you know, he showed up to the arcade one day and we started talking, man, and I could just tell, wow, like, this guy just has so much enthusiasm and so much passion. You know, like John, like that's, you know, that's the thing, you know, John, he's like, he's very funny, you know, he's super nice. He's like, he's very easy to, it's very easy to like John Rogg. And okay. it's been good, you know, in the community because, you know, everybody sees him putting in the time and really making the effort to get better, you know, everybody respects that over here. And so you have guys, you know, like the big names, like, you know, Edma and Kenai and, even Alex Vai, like they will like give him tips and, you know, they'll tell him what he can be doing better. And it's really helped out his game a lot because, you know, everybody's rooting for him. You know, everybody wants him to succeed.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And, we have MYK who is, he's a great, Tekken player. He actually qualified to go to Japan for SBO, for Tekken. So I thought it would be interesting to have somebody who was like a casual player and then have like an established top player from another fighting game come in and see how they would do. So yeah, I mean, it's going good. I mean, unfortunately, you know, the goal I think was for them to get top 8 at an AI tournament by, March 15th, but unfortunately they didn't do it yesterday and it doesn't look like there's going to be another tournament before. Well, yeah, I mean, the next AI tournament is going to be March 22nd. So,
okay. How close did they come though?
John Rogg, not this time, but last time we had a tournament, I believe he came in 9th.
Yeah, so he came real close.
Yeah, he came really close.
You have a video of one of his matches up on your site, don't you?
Yeah.
John Rogg?
Yeah, I mean, it's him playing Fusan 909. And, I mean, John Rogg got top 8 at this tournament over at James Games. And that was, like, back in January. That was a long time ago. But, I mean, you know, I really wanted it to be at AI.
Gotcha. That's kind of your home turf, though, isn't it?
It's all of our home turfs. I mean, right. If it wasn't for AI and Video 94, I mean, we would totally not be where we are. SoCal Street Fighter 4 would not be at the level that it's at.
I wish we had a place like Video 94. I read about that. It's like a video store, and then some machines set up in the back.
Man, nice. It's your neighborhood video store. It's no Blockbuster. You know, they got like a bajillion DVDs, and off to the side, there's a Street Fighter 4 and a Tekken 6 machine.
Nice.
Both of them for a quarter.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Shit, if we got Street Fighter around here, it'd be probably a dollar.
Oh, no doubt. It would definitely be a dollar.
I'm guessing.
Yeah. Street Fighter 4 Video 94 has always been a quarter.
Damn. See, that's why you guys got so good. So, yeah, give it up for
Video 94. Yeah, it's true. That's true.
You play 4 games for R1.
Yeah, I mean, it helps a lot, you know? I mean, at the beginning, Street Fighter 4, man, it was a rich man's game. But then, you know, once Video 94 got it for a quarter, I mean, a lot of the other arcades had to come down in price gradually.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Cool.
So it's been really good for us.
No doubt.
Cool.
All right. So what else do you hope? I mean, what do you really want to have happen with the site? You know, you kind of started it up. It's kind of doing its own thing. Where do you see it going?
Well, what I'm trying to build is I'm just trying to take Street Fighter to the next level. And for me, that means that it's held in the same regard, if not higher regard, than other competitive video games. I mean, I really want to take Street Fighter 4 to the masses.
Like, you want it to be cooler than Smash Brothers, don't you?
Yeah,
than to Halos.
These games.
That's what
don't
I was
even,
thinking was the Halos.
These games don't even enter my mind when I think about where Street Fighter should be, because to me, Street Fighter is the new Guitar Hero. Not in the sense that people who like music games also like Street Fighter, but in the sense that, you know, Guitar Hero and Rock Band were like really, really big, you know, for a good, you know, 6 to 12 months.
Yeah.
And I think that Street Fighter 4 can do that for Street Fighter. And I really think that it can do it. I really think that it can happen because there's so many players that are coming back into Street Fighter 4 that haven't played in a decade or more. And they're like, wow, you know, Street Fighter is back. It looks great. And hey, I'm like older now. I have a job. I got, you know, I can buy an Xbox. I can buy a Mad Cat stick. I can buy the game. I can play online. Mm-hmm. I can go to Evo. You know, I mean, everybody's older now.
Yeah.
And, mm-hmm. and everybody now, you know, we all have these great resources. You know, we have my website. We have SRK. You know, we have YouTube. And all of these things mean that if you have the dedication, you can really be as good as you want to be in Street Fighter. Whereas before, you know, like 10, 15 years ago, hey, you know, you were limited to your arcade. There was no internet. There were no videos. It was just like secret knowledge, you know. But now it's not like that. So we're in a really unique position here with Street Fighter that has never, ever, ever happened before. And I'm really hoping – well, I'm not hoping. I'm – basically 100% confident that I'm going to be able to take it where it needs to be. And I mean, hopefully, you know, it would be good to, you know, to have some help along the way with sponsors and stuff like that. That would be great.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, it doesn't matter because I'm doing it one way or the other. I'm doing it with or without them. So like everything that I'm putting together, it's completely 100%. It's independent. It's all me. It's all us. It's for us by us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, you know, it would be great to have, I mean, that's what I've been thinking about a lot lately. You know, like a lot of people are like, oh, is Street Fighter 4 going to get picked up by, you know, you have MLG and other competitive gaming organizations, you know, like that. Is it going to be picked up by MLG? Is it not? Like, I want to take it to the point where they come to me or it doesn't even matter because what we're doing is so much better than what they're doing. It doesn't even matter because ultimately tournaments are just – the tournament format is just not valid anymore and it's definitely not valid for the mainstream. It's just not. It's boring. It takes forever and honestly like nobody really cares that much, you know, outside of the really hardcore community. But what I think people do care about is matches between big name players, because then, you know, you got the player profiles, you have the videos beforehand, you know, you have the build up, you have the excitement, you have events like Street Fighter bar fights, you know, and I think that's where it's going. Well, at least, hey, that's where I'm taking it. Like that's where I'm taking it, one way or the other.
Two things. It's funny you brought up Rock Band for one. It's because when that first came out, me and a couple of my buddies were actually cross street at our regular bar we go to, and we're saying, "Why don't we should like start up a Rock Band night here?"
Yeah,
like, you know, because I usually have an open mic jam session, and my neighbor stole the idea, and he actually started doing it, and it started off like just like a few people, like maybe 20 people would show up, but every week it's been getting busier and busier, and then eventually the actual local news, not even local news actually, the whole Global, which is a huge station for Ontario, basically came down and interviewed him and some people there, and then he actually got someone from a hotel in downtown Toronto come up to him and be like, hey, listen, we like what you're doing here, you want to come to our hotel on like once a week and put on this like Rock Band night kind of thing, and it kind of
that's
it got
awesome.
Pretty big. And it has been going down a little bit lately, I guess, because I think the whole Guitar Hero thing, Rock Band thing, is kind of wearing off.
Yeah. Why do you think it's wearing off?
Some people, but I think for the most part for him, he was doing it once a week at this hotel and then once every 2 weeks, I believe, at the bar. And then, of course, you get your regulars that go there like all the time. But for, I think, more of the casual people, I think it was just too much. It was kind of getting played out for them. But then he realized that for every second time he put it on, it would be busier. So then he decreased it to once a month at the bar and then once every 2 weeks at the hotel. So they're bigger crowds now, but he's not doing it as often. So it's kind of like a bit of a trade-off.
But it's still going strong?
It's still going strong now. He's still doing it.
Awesome. Awesome.
Actually, the next one at the bar is actually this Friday, so, or this Saturday.
So that's where I think that we can take it, because I mean, it's, you know, when Rock Band and Guitar Hero was really big, you know, over here, like I would see flyers and posters and stuff for Guitar Hero events. And, you know, to me, there's no reason why we can't do the same.
Yeah, exactly. And the one thing I do want to comment on though, is you said that it's way more exciting to have, instead of the tournament style, to have the big names going up against each other, like kind of like some like epic card from like UFC or like WWE or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, like you got this. The only problem is, okay, Major League Gaming did get more popular, and people know who those Halo teams are now, and Call of Duty teams and so forth. But unless people know who they are, it's going to be like, why is this more exciting than watching a tournament?
Right.
So I think for that to get extremely popular, I think it has to go through the tournament stages first and get kind of into somewhat of a mainstream to get people to realize, hey,
then. Well, I mean, I've thought about that. I mean, right now, what I want to do is use the tournaments as a funnel for, you know, getting players featured in the matches. Because, I mean, I want to be doing these regularly, and every time the lineup has to be different to keep it fresh. So the best thing to do would be to be looking at the tournament results and who's coming up in the local tournaments, and then start featuring those guys. So, I mean, now players who before would think that, oh, they don't want to go to a tournament because all the pros are going to be there and they're just going to get owned. Now, if you take the pros out of it, now that kind of opens the playing field for everybody else. So now guys who before wouldn't been able to crack top eight, now, hey, they can be getting top eight.
You have a chance.
Because you don't have the pros that are like going to be there all the time.
Yeah. You're not saying get rid of the tournament scene completely.
No. Like I'm not saying get rid of the tournament scene. I'm just saying that the tournaments should lead up to the real events. I mean, because that's the same model that boxing and wrestling and MMA have been using, I mean, forever.
Yeah.
So there's no reason why it also can't work for us.
Exactly. And I think the DVD choice, as well as getting the videos out there, is going to be a big help too, because that'll not only show the casual people who the big names are, but also watching those videos teaches them in a way. Mm-hmm. I mean, Street Fighter's not exactly like you can watch Ultimate Fighting, but you don't see people, all right, guys, let's go out and beat the shit out of each other. Yeah, like, I'm sure some people do that, but I mean...
yeah, let's go in the backyard.
They usually end up with Darwin Awards, so...
yeah, exactly. So at least this way you can, like, you know, people can watch people like, hey, dude, I never knew you could do that kind of thing, and
give
it a shot with their friends, and then build up the confidence. Be like, you know what, maybe we should actually try going to one of these or setting one up for ourselves,
because
it's pretty fun.
Exactly. And once it gets to that point where other people are setting up their own events, I mean, I don't really see this going away. I just don't see this going away because, you know, the competitive Street Fighter scene has been around since day one of Street Fighter. And, you know, it's like everything else. I mean, it comes in cycles. It's gone up and down through the years. But I mean, I've been playing competitively since 2003, and there were people playing. I mean, they've been people playing competitively since long before I came around. So it was just because I think we didn't have the audience that, you know, the audience kind of like died out because I don't really think that, you know, back in the day we had the resources that we do today, but now with, you know, the internet and everything, I mean, I just do not see this going away. I think as long as I can do my part and keep it fresh and exciting for everybody, that this is something that's going to stick around for a long, long time.
I hope it does.
Yeah, for sure. I'd love to play Street Fighter, like Street Fighter 4 the way we played Street Fighter 2 back in the day. That would just be awesome.
Yeah, I mean...
lasted for years.
Yeah, I mean, this is... Man, we've never had an opportunity like this. And, you know, I'm really glad to be so fortunate as to be in a position where I can actually make these things happen because of the podcast, because of the website, because, you know, I've been doing this stuff, you know, for a while, and, you know, I have, like, a little bit of you know, the audience.
Yeah.
So I mean, I'm really trying to leverage that into putting together these events to, you know, bring more people in, and it's just gonna get bigger and bigger and bigger.
Cool. I thank you so much for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I really hope that we can get people to come out.
Love the motivation. That's awesome.
Yeah, sure. Well, it's more than anything, it's instilling the confidence into people that don't think they can do it. And instilling that confidence that they can. And I'm one of those people that would never think about going to a tournament for Street Fighter. And it's people like me that would need that turning to get me to go to something like that.
To add that little bit of hype, a little bit of hope. So, you know, there's lots of resources out there, you know, between, you know, Ryan's show here, where he's got top people on that give strategies, shit tons of videos out there that'll help you step up your game. So.
Yeah. I mean, you know, now everybody out there who's not on the pro level has something like a very clear path to strive for, because now it's like, well, if if people do really good in tournaments now, then Kutex is going to want me to be in his event. You know what I mean? And then, you know, you've taken it to the next level. I mean, that's where I think it can go. And I think that's where it should be. Yeah, because before, if you weren't one of the, you know, top three guys, you weren't getting paid, you know, period. Cause if you weren't getting top three at a tournament, like there's no money for you, you know, but now it can be a little bit different.
Yeah.
I'm with you there. Cool. All right, well, cool, man. So let's move on to the next segment.
Some questions?
Yeah, I think so. These were questions sent in from our listeners. Once we announced that, you know, Ryan here was going to be on the show, and they're like, "Wow, I want to ask Gutex some questions."
So your word is spreading. That's
yeah.
There you go.
Some of these are kind of basic. We got some specific ones later on and stuff. But
right. Okay.
So let's start out with a little background. It's from Jack Bauer. He says, "Why Street Fighter and not other fighting games like Tekken?"
Why don't we lump that into the next one, too, because they're kind of the same question.
Oh, okay. Well, then, spoiler alert, joins in with, what does the Street Fighter series have that allows to successfully keep selling when other franchises tend to slide out of popularity within 5 to 7 years? Street Fighter has gone through many iterations and various changes, and people still stay around and play. Now we have seen new Soul Calibur and Mortal Kombat recently, but... plus, we're seeing a new Tekken coming pretty soon. None of these titles have built up the excitement and the anticipation of Street Fighter 4 this past month. There's something about Street Fighter. Why, Gutex? Why?
Well, there's a lot of factors that come into play. You know, there's something to be said for being the first, like, big game in a genre, or there's something to be said for basically inventing a genre. And I mean, that's what Street Fighter 2 did. You know, I mean, of course you had Mortal Kombat that came along, you know, soon after, and you have Tekken and Soul Calibur, and those are all fine for people who play those games. But ultimately, there are more people that know who Ryu is, and there's more people who can throw a fireball than know about, like, any of those other characters combined. Like, I don't know anybody.
I don't know Liu Kang's fatality. I don't know how to do that shit.
Yeah, and who can... I don't know anybody outside of those who play Tekken who can name any of the Tekken characters. But, you know, like it or not, everybody knows Ryu, Ken, and Chun-Li, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think that's a big factor. I guess the other factors... Oh, let's see. You know... Street Fighter,
it's just a bad game.
I would say, I mean, it might just be, it might be, you know, because I'm biased, but I mean, I think that the Street Fighter's franchise is technically a better game than all the other ones. I guess, you know, maybe what it also might come down to is the fact that Street Fighter was born in the arcade, so that has a different type of player than, and, you know, then games that are primarily, like, console-based, you know, maybe like Tekken and Soul Calibur 4 now. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's, like, those are different people, you know? Yeah. I mean, everybody played in the arcade when they were a kid, you know? Everybody did. But not everybody played, you know, not everybody had a PlayStation. Okay, everybody had a Nintendo and a Super Nintendo, but not everybody had a PlayStation, you know? I mean, I didn't, you know? And so I think that, one, it had a bigger, Street Fighter had a bigger built-in audience because it was everywhere, absolutely everywhere. 7-Eleven, bowling alleys, arcades, movie theaters, Street Fighter was everywhere. None of those games have ever had that, you know? So they don't have the kind of hardcore fan base I don't think that Street Fighter has.
Yeah. I remember, MK was huge though, you know, when it first came out.
It was.
And that was the only other game that I saw that was in, you know, all the various convenience stores and all the arcades and stuff. But it was short lived, you know?
Yeah.
You know, people kind of get sick of it, I think, real quick. I know I did.
Yeah. I don't think it had like as many, you know, really high level players that were really dedicated to it in the way that people are dedicated to Street Fighter.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
Now I have a question. When did you actually start playing Street Fighter? Did you start with a specific version of 2?
I played Street Fighter 2 World Warrior. I was like 9 or 10 and I was playing in the arcade. The very first time that I played Street Fighter, I was in Hawaii at the on the Big Island with my parents. And I played at this arcade. I think it was like a Fun Factory. The Fun Factory arcade chain was like really big over there in Hawaii. I think it was at one of those places, and I played it for the first time. And I distinctly remember having all my, you know, first grade, second grader friends tell me about how much fun this game was. But when I played it over here, I mean, I just didn't get it. But when I was in Hawaii, man, it all made sense.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was, I distinctly remember playing it for the first time over there and really loving it.
Cool. All right. Next question comes from Chuck. And he asks, which characters do you consider to be top tier and why?
In Street Fighter IV, a lot of people are really concerned with tier lists, because mm-hmm. people think, well, if I play a high tier character, I have a better chance at winning. And that's true to an extent. That's true on paper, but it's not necessarily always true in practice, because what people don't understand is that just because you play a top tier character, doesn't necessarily mean that that character actually suits your playstyle, because playing a character whose playstyle works for you is way more important than playing a high tier character. So, I mean, that said, you know, you have Sagat at number one, most mm-hmm. likely, because he just does about 25 to 30% too much damage. And if you jump in and he uppercuts and it trades, then he can do, and then he can ultra.
Yep.
He just does a ridiculous amount of damage.
Yeah.
So he's number one, I would say. I guess recent developments, recent developments in Japan say that Sea Viper is now above Sagat.
Wow. That's crazy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, people are really starting to learn how to use her.
Yeah, because, you know, before it wasn't really practical in the arcades to be practicing all these combos, but now on console it is. So she has really high damage combos, some of which take no meter at all. So, I mean, that's, and she plays like really wacky. She's really tricky. If you don't know the match, I mean, you're probably going to lose to Viper, to somebody who knows what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of a recent development. So you got Sagat, Viper, and then you have,
my poor Balrog. Vega, who's in dead last.
Yeah, sorry. You know, Vega's like kind of far down there at the bottom, but I mean, that's the beauty of Street Fighter. You know, you have characters, all characters, in my opinion, are tournament viable. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, you got guys that use Vega. That, I mean, mm-hmm. they're really good, you know? Like, nobody is a pushover in Street Fighter 4. It's not like Third Strike at all. You know, in Third Strike, you know, you have characters like 12 and Sean and Q, and, you know, they're terrible. But, Street Fighter 4... it's not really like that at all.
It's a little more balanced, I think.
It is a little bit more balanced. So, I mean, you know, you have Balrog. Balrog's up there. Bison is up there. Some people would say Ryu is up there. I don't know. Like, that's the thing. You know, tier lists are so subjective. The game is still mm-hmm. new. So, I mean, they change all the time. What's way more important than the tier list is finding a character that suits your style. And, you know, when I first started playing Street Fighter 4, I was picking Ryu because I didn't really resonate with any of the characters, and I just felt, well, I'm just going to learn Ryu because he's like, you know, Ryu's decent and mm-hmm. He's relatively easy to play. And so, I mean, I did that for, you know, two or three months before, you know, a couple of the guys over here convinced me to switch to Balrog and give Balrog a chance. And once I did, man, it was like, boom, I was having trouble. I don't think I had ever gotten above fifth place before with Ryu. But the first time I used Balrog in a tournament, I got second.
Wow.
And yeah, you know, like Balrog maybe is like slightly higher on the tier list, but it's also it's more because Balrog suits my playstyle a lot better than Ryu does. Probably because I played Urien in Third Strike and there are like some similarities.
Hmm. Okay.
That's kind of a little bit of a sidebar here, but... right now, currently at another one of the forums we go to, GLF, GamersLiberationFront.com, there's two players who are very new to the Street Fighter series, and we kind of have, it's not like a bet, it's kind of like a friendly bet, I guess, going on, where I'm going to be...
It's a bet for bragging rights.
It's a bet for bragging rights, basically. It's Jawmuncher versus Jigsaw, and they're both brand new to the series, and I'm taking one of them under my wing and trying to, like, train them, and then another guy... who's played Street Fighter for a bit is going to take the other dude, and we're going to have them battle out and see who wins. And at the beginning, before the game came out, they were all checking tier lists and everything. And I'm like, guys, seriously, don't even worry about that because you guys are just starting. Like, the tier list doesn't mean anything to you.
Yeah,
the only way I could see that possibly see that at all being an issue is if you took two people of incredibly high skill who know how to use every character equally, and then you pit like the top tier versus the last tier, and they can play like every character and like really well. Like, you guys just pick whoever you want, whoever you think looks the coolest, and we'll go from there.
Absolutely. I mean, hey, ultimately, ultimately, like, Street Fighter is supposed to be fun. You know, I mean, of course, you know, for guys like me, you know, it's a little bit, it's different. You know, it's more than that. But ultimately, you know, it's supposed to be fun, and it's no fun. I mean, I try to play Sagat. I'm like, oh, Sagat's really good. I kind of stuck with Ryu. I'm gonna play Sagat, that didn't go well. That didn't go well at all. You know, I still don't know how to use that guy. You know,
I was telling Jason Chris before that I didn't go to any like the Shuriken forums to look at actual strategies and stuff like that, because that stuff just overwhelms me, and I think like I'm concentrating more on what I should be doing rather than just playing the game and naturally improving.
Yeah,
how I play it in terms, like, instead of just thinking about what I'm doing wrong. So I just, I can't look at stuff like that. It just drives me insane.
Yeah, man. I mean, I think you're in the same boat as a lot of people, because a lot of people, they're new to Street Fighter. They find SRK. They're like, oh, sweet. Like, you know, this is the place.
They got cheat codes.
Yeah. These are the cheat codes that I've been Googling for.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, then they get to SRK and then they're like, wow, where do I start? You know?
Yeah.
There's so many threads. There's very... I would say, in general, I don't think that the reception to the new players on SRK has been, you know, very nice and welcoming, unfortunately. And, you know, I can totally see how, you know, players who are really trying to get better and look for information, how it can be intimidating, because it's not very well organized. I mean, yeah, there's the Shoryuken wiki. But that pretty much only has the frame data at this point, and it doesn't actually have any information. And plus two, even on the forums, I mean, you got guys, you never know who you're talking to on the forums. You don't know if this guy is like an established player, if this guy's just some noob that's talking out of his ass. You know, you don't know. And to me, like, that's where I come into play. Because, <Nice. laughs> I mean, you know, that's why, I mean, I wrote a little, you know, Street Fighter 4 strategy guide. You know, and I put that up on my site, and, you know, that way it's like, oh, I'll just read Gutex's guide. That'll be a good start, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Gutex, so basically what I'm going to do is I'm going to steal all your shit and tell John Muncher it's me telling him that stuff. He's going to win, and I'll get all the credit.
That's totally fine. That's
totally fine. Hey, Jeff, no offense, but I told John Muncher I wanted Jigsaw to win, because at least Jigsaw listens to and sends in
this
voicemail.
Show. Yeah,
point.
I know, I saw that.
All right, well, let's go to another question. This one's from Nogric. Mm-hmm. Actually, he's got two questions. The first question is, which characters do you feel are the most overrated and underrated?
Huh. What kind of...
Overrated.
Sagat.
Nah, Sagat's pretty solid. I don't...
Ken?
You know, okay, honestly, I guess Sagat, to some people, sometimes in certain situations, yeah, Sagat is like overrated, because people are like, oh, I pick Sagat, oh, he's gonna win, like, so there definitely is that intimidation factor with Sagat.
Mm-hmm.
Who else is overrated?
I'd say Ken's overrated from playing people online.
No, Ken is far from overrated.
The only reason I mean overrated, I mean overrated by players who are new think they can just pick him and that's all they use when they don't know how to use. Like Blue Steel Point always said, if you're going to pick Ken, know how to use him. And I find 80% of people pick Ken, they don't know what they're doing. So to me, I think it's overrated in that sense. Not that I know he's an excellent character, but I just...
Oh, right.
Like,
there's actually
the
already
people.
Been, you know, I mean, there's so many Ken players. I don't know if you guys have seen the Street Fighter 4 Ken flowchart.
I heard about that, yeah.
Yeah, there's... It's on the Capcom Unity blog, and it's just like this. I mean, it's like a joke diagram, but it's basically like all your options lead to Wake Up Shoryuken. I don't know. Yep. It's really funny. It's really funny. But Sagat, Ken, underrated. That's a little bit more interesting.
Vega.
Yeah, Vega is underrated. Fuerte is underrated. Guile is underrated.
Yes.
And,
yeah.
And Dan is definitely underrated.
I love
him. Dan is really scary. Gokin and Seth, I think, are overrated at the moment. But, you know, it's still really early. That's pretty much it. Fuerte, and Viper to an extent, maybe, to some people. Viper, Fuerte, Guile. Vega, underrated. And Dan.
Okay. And Dan.
Cool. Go Dan.
All right. Are there any characters you would have liked to have seen in 4?
You know, before I started playing the game, when it was, you know, still in development, before they'd really shown us anything, of course, I wanted Urien in Street Fighter 4. That would have been awesome. But, you know, like, after playing the game for a while, to me, there's just, it's just, none of the Third Strike characters would really fit in Street Fighter 4, I don't think. So, I mean, for me, you know, I wasn't super into the Alpha series. I didn't play Street Fighter EX at all. And I don't really think any of the Street Fighter 3 characters fit, so I'm pretty much fine with the roster.
What about, like, a T-Hawk or DJ?
I mean, I guess that'd be cool. I don't know. I wasn't playing competitively back then, so I don't really have, like, a super affinity for, like, all those characters. Yeah, because I didn't play Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo or Super Turbo. I mean, arcades were dying out. I mean, I didn't really play, and I definitely didn't play T-Hawk or DJ that much at all. So, yeah.
What about Sub-Zero?
Hey, there we go. Hidden character.
Well, you know, I heard Midway is trying to sell off Mortal Kombat, so maybe Capcom will pick it up, and we'll see SF versus MK.
Wow. I'm not sure if that would be like the best idea or like the worst idea.
Well, I think Capcom could actually turn MK into something good again.
If anyone could do it, they could do it.
I know. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. If anybody could do it, Capcom could do it.
All right. Cool. Let's see. Arkham asks, what spamming technique do you find the most annoying to fight against?
Like fireball spam.
Oh, my favorite is, Blanca ball into throw. Blanca ball from like half screen and then they'll throw you. And it's like, I'll try to jab them out of it or I'll try to throw, but they always manage to throw me out of it. That's ridiculously annoying. God, what else? Oh, wake up uppercut with Sagat or, you know, you're doing like, you'll jump in roundhouse or something and he'll block and then he'll immediately do reversal tiger uppercut. That is like the most annoying thing ever because, you know, a lot of these players that do that don't really understand the idea of risk versus reward. Like, okay, yeah, if you hit this tiger uppercut, yeah, it's going to do a lot of damage, but all I have to do is nothing and then hit you with a massive combo when you land. And, you know, that's pretty much going to be the end of the round. But a lot of players, you know, like they don't understand that because they've never been in a position like such as a tournament match or, you know, an SBO qualifier match or, you know, a match at Evo. They've never been in a position where doing a dumb move like that costs them everything. So, yeah, I mean, those moves are like, that's basically the most annoying thing ever. And it's, you know, obviously, top players do that stuff too every now and then. And even then, you know, you don't really see it that much. But yeah, that's pretty annoying. Oh, when I knock somebody down and then they do wake up uppercut focus cancel, that's pretty annoying. Because, like, you know, you're burning 2 meters. And if I block, then, you know, yeah, you're going to, like, run up and try to throw. So then even if the throw hits, yeah, okay, so you burn 2 bars for like 10% life. Like, wow, yeah, that was a good idea.
All right, now, pardon me for being noobish, but what do you mean by wake up uppercut? There might be some other people besides me that are wondering.
Right, of course. When you get knocked down and then as soon as you get up, the very first move that you do is an uppercut, that's a wake up uppercut.
Okay.
Like where you're not looking to see. Well, I mean, of course, like, if you see the move coming and then you uppercut, you know, that's okay. That's okay. But if you're just gonna, you know, if you just think that they're gonna attack, so then you do an uppercut as soon as you get up from the ground, I mean, that's a wake-up uppercut, and that's generally a terrible idea.
I used to do that a lot of the time, and lately I've been kind of toning down on that because.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
punished quite a bit.
exactly. I mean, once like when I'm playing somebody and I knock them down the first time, I'll usually like attack them on wake up to see what they're going to do. And if they do wake up uppercut the first time, then I'll know, well, was that a good idea for them to do wake up uppercut, or are they just, do they just not really have a lot of experience and they think that that's a good idea? So then I'll just pretty much try to bait it out. So I'll do that a lot against, you know, Sagat players because, I mean, like, for example, yesterday I played, in a tournament against a Sagat player, and I know that this guy has a tendency to do wake up uppercut, like, every single time that he has meter. So he'll do wake up uppercut, focus cancel, and burn the meter. So I don't even want to participate in, I don't even want to put myself in a position where, you know, I don't think he's going to do it, or is he going to do it? What's he going to do? And then if, you know, he'll like run up and try to throw me or something, it's like, I don't even want to do that. So I'll just stand at sweep range and just let him get up and, you know, not even put myself in that situation because I'm thinking about the risk reward of attacking him versus just sitting there and letting him get up, you know, and without me having to risk anything, because that's what a lot of people don't understand, you know, about Street Fighter is it's not always really about necessarily beating your opponent. It's also about, you know, reducing risk, so that you're not leaving yourself open to losing life.
Well, strategy, like outthinking them, basically.
Yeah.
It's kind of like,
Cool. Arkham also says Crimson Lifer, Viper for life.
I think he likes your hair.
Next question comes from Pope Tete, and he says, hello, Indisc, Gutex. Simple question. Sagat equal best, most badass character in Street Fighter, correct?
Jeez.
Any expert tips on him particularly?
I don't even think Tete plays Street Fighter. But
on playing him or playing against him?
He probably meant playing as him. Tete uses, he uses Sagat.
Okay. Yeah. Well, playing as him, I guess you could, I guess there's the method that Paul, so much damage uses, and that guy, he'll just jump back, put himself in the corner, and throw like 70 tiger shots in one round.
And speaking of annoying spamming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, you try to jump, and then he tiger uppercuts, or he'll ultra, or whatever. I don't know. The big thing with Sagat is really, I guess, kind of understanding that most likely the other player might be like intimidated kind of. If you're at the same level as the guy you're playing and you're using Sagat and he's using like Akuma, right? You know, Sagat has a big, he's got a really big advantage because, you know, he does a lot of damage and, you know, he doesn't really have, I mean, I guess once you get in close on Sagat, it's kind of hard for him to fight him off. And his range on his pokes is not really that good. But, I mean, he just does so much damage. I mean, you really just need to, I don't know. You gotta either turtle your ass off or you gotta really put the pressure on him and really, like, rush him down and make him, you know, you gotta play Sagat like he's, you know, this big, you know, Muay Thai fighter dude, you know? Like, that's, like, he's a big guy in the game, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you can play him like that, you know, that would be good. I'm not really, like, a Sagat expert at all.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, he definitely strikes me mainly a zoning character, you know, and just kind of wear him down, you know, with chip shots, with the fireballs and stuff. I mean, that's one way, but...
That seems to be, like, the way that it's been going so far, but, I mean, we could see, you know, a rushdown Sagat.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Last set of questions comes from Blue Steel. He's got four questions.
Mr. 69.04. Yeah.
His first question is, from what I've played so far, it feels as though the player is somewhat penalized for being on the offensive. The lack of any true block strings, seemingly latent reversal windows, and meaty attacks feeling almost worthless. Is offensive truly penalizing in Street Fighter 4, or is there a timing difference I need to adjust to?
Well, I mean, there is some truth to that, and that's part of why lots of times at high-level play, you know, Street Fighter 4 can be, like, pretty boring. Like, for example, yesterday I played in a tournament at AI, and it was me and Kino, who also plays Balrog, and we were in the finals. And it was 3 out of 5, games, and I had to win two sets because I was in losers. So a lot of these matches came down to either timeouts or, you know, they would come down with like 5-10 seconds left.
Damn.
And part of the reason for that is, you know, there is no, it's very easy to just kind of sit back and block. And so, you know, I'm not going to say that you're penalized for being offensive, but, you know, blocking and turtling is, I would say, maybe more heavily rewarded. So that might be a little bit more accurate. And the reason that turtling and blocking is so good is because not every character has an overhead, and the characters that do have an overhead, most of them are pretty slow. You know, like in Third Strike, you know, you have the universal overhead, and every character has it. And, you know, a lot of characters have, you know, overheads that are a lot faster in Third Strike than they are in Street Fighter 4. So yeah, I mean, that's kind of an issue.
So basically, wait till the other person makes the first mistake, then destroy them, kind of. That's what people are waiting for.
You know, at high levels, that's pretty much what it comes down to sometimes, especially in a match like Balrog versus Balrog. I mean, that's like a terrible match. but I mean, you know, like, okay, media attacks. I mean, I wouldn't say that media attacks are useless, because I mean, okay, like, what are they gonna do? Are they gonna wake up uppercut every time? Once you know that they're gonna wake up uppercut every time, then all you have to do is not attack them and then just get a combo ready.
Yeah.
So I mean, it all just comes down to the wake up guessing game, you know. And it's not really like, oh, these certain attacks are like totally useless. It's like, well, maybe you aren't utilizing them properly.
Well, so you said that, okay, that there's a lot of turtling and stuff like that. So how, in the tournament scene, how good are people at teching throws? Because I know decided to throw my whole throw thing out the fucking window now, because there's a lot of turtlers online. I say, you know what, I'm just going to throw them to death, because a lot of them just block, 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 wait for me to scrub something. I'm just going to throw them. And I find a lot of them aren't too good at teching yet, unless it kind of happens by fluke. But I take it they're really good at it at the tournament level, where there's no point in even trying, because...
No, you gotta try. I mean, you know, most tournament players are really good at teching, but that doesn't mean that they can't be thrown. And that doesn't mean that if, they know that you're gonna try to throw, that you can't use that to your advantage. It's really, you know, I mean, it sucks. I mean, I wish there were more options like a universal overhead, but I mean, that's, you know, sometimes, yeah, I mean, the games can be slow and people can tech like every single one of your throws, but that doesn't mean that you shouldn't try. It just means that, well, maybe you need to be a little bit more creative with your throw setups.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like one thing that I do is, you know, when I'll like throw them a couple of times. So I'm like setting them up so that they think that I'm going to throw. And then, you know, the next time I'll like walk up in their face, and then I'll take a step back and they'll whiff a throw, and then I'll do low strong dash punch super and punish the throw whiff. So, yeah.
I mean, level tips. I love it.
Yes. Yeah.
Good stuff.
Cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, if you have to throw somebody to death, hey, you have to throw them to death. I mean, the window on tech and the throws is obviously like much smaller because you're playing online.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
I mean, I would totally use that to my advantage.
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
Cool.
His next question is, when first learning a game, the general consensus I see seems to be play a bunch of characters first and get used to how they play. I seem to be the only person who favors learning a single character really well. Do you have any opinions on which you prefer, and potential pros and cons of each
approach?
That's
a good question.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's kind of like a mixture of both. If you're really new to the game, yeah, you should go through every character and play them for a while and see which one, you know, you like, which one fits your playstyle best. So you definitely should go through, you know, all of them and, you know, try them out. But once you find your character, that's when you need to stick with them, because, you know, a lot of people, like, for example, in Third Strike, you didn't really have people that could play like a lot of characters at tournaments. Everybody was pretty much a character specialist, and everybody in the community had respect for character specialists. Like, oh, you're the best, you know, Ken player in America, you're the best Yun in America. Like, that's good, you know. With Street Fighter 4, it's a little bit different. In Street Fighter 4, it's a little bit different. And, you know, people try to, they'll want to counter pick, like, oh, I need a counter for this character, and this character. But it's like, well, do you really need a counter, or should you just learn the match better with your character? You know, I mean, like, Sagat versus Balrog, that's, you know, that's a hard match, you know, and, you know, I could, maybe Dalzim, maybe counters Sagat, maybe Vega counters Sagat, but, you know, is it better for me to learn one of those characters, or is it better for me to just, A, just learn the match better with Balrog? Because in Third Strike, it wasn't an option to be playing different characters during the match, during tournaments, because in the ranking battle format, true ranking battle format, you can only pick one character and it's single elimination.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
I forgot to mention that earlier, because obviously, like, we don't do it that way over here, because in the, with the American format, it's like a little bit different. You don't, you do two out of three and everything. You can switch characters, but in Third Strike ranking battles in Japan, it's one game and it's one character. So there is no character switching. There is no counter picking. There's, you're a master of your character and you win, or you suck and you go home. And that's what a lot of people don't really understand about, you know, Street Fighter 4. It's like, well, yeah, you, you know, you could pick up some of these other characters, but, you know, maybe it's best to just, you know, stick to one and learn, and learn the match better. But that's not to say that you shouldn't learn how to play those characters, just that you shouldn't be playing them in tournaments. Like, of course, best case scenario, everybody would be able to play all characters competently, and then they have one character that really, you know, that's their main, that's the best.
Gotcha.
But yeah, I mean, to me, it's just, I mean, at one point I was hoping that Rose was going to be like a good counter for Sagat. But now I feel a lot better about Sagat. So I'm just like, well, I'm just going to stick with him. I'm just going to stick with Balrog for the time being, until, you know, of course, I'll play other characters for fun. But when it comes to, you know, serious tournament time, serious business, I mean, I'm sticking with my main character because that's where I feel most comfortable.
Right. Cool.
Cool.
All right. Question number three. Assuming a championship edition upgrade comes to Street Fighter 4, what are the top three things you would like to see changed from the current iteration, i.e. new characters, changes to the systems, nerf Sagat?
He's all about the nerf Sagat.
Yeah,
Nerfing Sagat would be good. That would definitely be a step in the right direction. I mean, take the damage down 20 to 30% and everything would be fine. Let's see, what else is an issue? It would be cool to have air focus attacks, or, you know, armor moves with armor, air moves with armor, kind of like Gouken has EX dragon flip.
Yeah, yeah.
It might be cool maybe to integrate counters like Gouken has. I mean, to me, Gouken might be like a preview of Street Fighter 4 Champion Edition. Because he's got, you know, the EX Demon Flip with the armor, and he's got high and low counters that are actual moves.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't really think too much about, like, all this stuff except for, you know, Sagat.
You're in the here and the now.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, I mean, obviously, like, probably, like, anything that I say has no effect on what's actually going to happen. in terms of, you know, what's going on with the game itself.
You need to call Capcom and give them your suggestions.
Yeah. Hey, Capcom, listen here.
All right. His last question. I think we've actually already covered this, but we'll go through it one more time. Which would you rather play, Street Fighter 4 or Third Strike?
Right now, I would rather be playing Street Fighter 4 because that's where the players, the attention, the competition, the events, the money, the publicity, the audience, that's where everything is.
The groupies.
Hey, man, you know, one can only hope. Right?
He stole that from you, Jason.
God damn it, that was my fucking question, man.
I was surprised you haven't asked it yet, dude. I was like, you usually ask anyone, we get someone on, he's like a pro game, whatever, he's always like, and what about the groupies?
What do they so say? Because, you know, like, those of us in Street Fighter, we're so isolated from all other competitive games. It's ridiculous. Like, we don't even know, like, for the longest time until two or three years ago at Evo, when they had, they did like a co-hosted event with MLG, with Halo. Like, we didn't even know that these, gaming leagues fans. Even exist.
Yeah, we've got signs and shit. It's amazing. Yeah, we had some dude from MLG.
Elamite Warrior was on here. One of the best Halo 3 players.
He was a little young though, so I don't think he really got into.
He's like 20, and he's talking about chicks that are watching him at the show, and I'm like,
he didn't really. Get
So there definitely are. He said he couldn't speak for himself, but his other teammates have a good time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you know, like that's good news for everybody. And,
exactly.
You know, hopefully with the events that, you know, I put together and the way that the direction that I'm trying to take it, I mean, you know, hopefully we will have like some of that FPS money and attention and stuff like that.
There
you
go. I mean, it could happen. I think it definitely could happen. I think it's fighting games are like fresh again. It took Street Fighter to do it. And, I mean, everyone's like a lot of people like you, like I know you're not a huge gamer per se, and like Street Fighter's the main thing, but from what I get from people on forums and stuff, people for the most part in general I think are getting sick of first person shooters, and I think Street Fighter 4 kind of came at the perfect time.
Nice. To me this is like the best thing that could have ever happened to me and to us in the community. I mean, this is everything about Street Fighter 4 has just been absolutely perfect, with the exception of Sagat's damage, but honestly everything else outweighs Sagat's damage so much. It's honestly, it's amazing. I feel really lucky to be in a position where, you know, I can hopefully be part of this phenomenon that is the resurgence of Street Fighter.
Gonna make the difference.
Dude, I'm
Major League Street Fighter coming soon.
Yeah.
I'm trying, man. I'm doing my best.
I would love to see it. I think it would be awesome. I think it would be absolutely awesome.
I mean, that's the dream right there, you know. I mean it's one thing for, you know, me to be able to do this stuff like full time, but it's another if we can have like a group of pros that are like doing this full time, because there's that much going on, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's like the Voltron of Street Fighter.
Yeah.
Form blazing sword, bitches.
Yeah. You know, right. I mean, that's something that we haven't had ever in Street Fighter. And that's why this has to work. That's why everybody has to come April 5th. To Street Fighter Bar Fights number 1 and buy the DVD.
I'm buying my plane tickets right now.
Yeah. All right, Ryan. Well, we are out of listener questions. Thank you once again. Why don't you take another shot at pimping your site and what you do and where we can find your stuff.
You can find all of my stuff at gootex.com, GOOTECKS.com, home of the Street Fighter podcast, which I do, you know, I mean, I've been trying to, the plan was to do weekly shows, but, what I have lined up is a bunch of shows with top players that are participating in Street Fighter Bar Fights. And we're going to be talking all about the new characters, that, you know, that the console release has brought us. Mm-hmm. And I also have the Third Strike Player's Guide to Street Fighter 4, which is a free Street Fighter 4 strategy guide that's available on gootex.com.
Yeah.
Cool. There's Street Fighter Bar Fights. I'm going to have to set up a website for that. For right now, you're going to have to get all the updates on gootex.com. But I mean, the Street Fighter Bar Fights, April 5th at Jake's Billiards in Pasadena. Time is, you know, it's probably going to be like, late afternoon, early evening-ish. But I mean, you know, just keep an eye on the website for that. You can catch me at Final Round in Atlanta. I'm going to be there March 13th through 15th. Yeah. The Dogface show. Can't forget the Dogface show. I was the first guest on that. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Vic, Dogface, he's like super awesome. Really funny show. There's no Street Fighter strategy talk. It's like a talk show, you know, just casual questions, sitting around, shooting the shit, having a good time. And you can check that out on dogfaceshow.com.
Cool.
Very cool.
All right.
Well, man, do you guys got anything else?
I'm good. I am definitely going to hit you up, though, if you can give me some tips and a little bit of training here.
No problem. We definitely need your PSN name, man. Seriously.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no problem.
You do have it for PS3, right?
I have it for PS3 and Xbox, yeah.
All right, perfect.
So, yeah, I'm totally glad to help you guys out. I mean, maybe what you guys can do is challenge other gaming sites to Street Fighter 4 matches.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'll train you guys. You guys will have the inside track. I'll train you guys.
Nice.
Just go around the internet pounding on other gaming
sites. Sounds good.
I dig it.
Indus versus the world.
Well, I think that's one of the first things we're going to be doing here.
They will fear
here
us like Sagat versus Vega.
We're going to be organizing a VG Evo only tournament, I think, to kind of get it started out.
So, I was wondering if you were going to mention that.
What the fuck? I'll go ahead and I'll say it. So, I'm actually the last round of sticks that I made, I made an extra one, and that extra one is going to be up for top prize. So,
Is this going to be an online tournament or in person?
Yeah, it'll be an online tournament.
And there are going to be some. I think we're going to talk about some specific rules, stipulations, as it were.
Yeah, we don't want Gutex coming in and
you're gonna have your join date has to be before March 7th.
Right. we'll have more details on that in future shows.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So stay tuned for that. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, Ryan, thank you so much for coming on the show. I hope you had a good time. And,
hey, no
I know
problem,
we definitely
guys.
Got a lot of information.
Yeah, hey, magical. I'm totally happy. Dude. Thank you guys so much for having me. I would love to come back anytime there's more questions.
Cool.
All right, cool.
Awesome. Good deal. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed the show. If you did, then please tell a few friends about us and give us a, drop us a rating on iTunes. We'd appreciate it. Mm-hmm. So anything else before we wrap up?
No, man. Ryan, thanks again. We'll see you in less than a couple weeks.
Yeah, nice. Man. I'm super excited. I'm super excited.
Good. Awesome.
Well, until next time then, my name is Chris.
I'm Jason.
And I'm Jeff.
And he's Ryan.
Gutex.
There you go.
There you go.
Play your games, and we'll talk to you next time.
All right, later.
Take it easy.